The following program has been furnished and paid for by Nathan P. Ross, CPA, and KSCB and KGBC are not responsible for its content or the products or services offered.
Welcome to the Be a Planner Show with Nathan Ross, CPA, a show that helps you learn how planners can generate significantly more wealth now. Nathan will answer your questions about business or personal finance or how to increase current cash flows and generate retirement savings to make sure you're on the right path and so much more. Whatever your financial goal, Nathan can get you there faster. And now, here's your host, Nathan Ross.
Welcome to this week's Be a Planner Show, the cyber version with Nathan Ross, CPA, and my special guest, Mr. A.I. Nguyen, is joining us today. Nguyen, how are you doing today?
I'm doing great. There's a lot of things going on in September, I can tell you that.
Yeah, you're telling me. Mm-hmm. I've got a deadline or two staring me in the face here.
Oh, I done mine already, the 15th.
Oh, have you? Well, I wish I could say that. I wanted to just remind folks that, you know, we'll be talking about things on this show, as we do on every show, that we're not meaning for you to think that, hey, here's the recipe, go take a shot at it. I'm going to tell you, never take a shot at it unless you've got somebody that's experienced generally in the topic or the applications involved, but more importantly, in your unique facts, circumstances, and settings on your computer gear or phones, iPads, etc. Because, boy, can it go south in a hurry. Right, Mr. Nguyen?
Yes. So there's a lot of things that we should not do. This is all opinionated, so.
A reasoned opinion.
Exactly.
I would say.
Yes. So anyway, today I want to dive into September 2025, one of the busiest months in cybersecurity history. Is it okay with you? We go ahead and start with some of the topic I want to go over real quick with you.
Yeah, that's great. Yeah. Well, that's great. I think I want to, before we get to the end, sure, since we just got the new iPhones and the new iOS 26, which I think is probably
we're going to touch base on that. That part of it
impact. Yeah, but boy, is there some good stuff and some, I think, not
too
good stuff.
Exactly.
Yeah, I don't understand some of the new screen orientations and alignments, and it's like, you know, they two steps forward and three steps back on that front, as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah.
And Apple doesn't seem to get it that old people don't like to have to relearn
and that
menus.
Kinda,
and where are they hiding this now and that, whatnot?
And that kind of go against, Apple main goal, like to make it easy for everybody,
Right.
That's Steve Jobs' goal. Steve Jobs, in mind when he designed Apple, is for everybody the ease of use, you know?
Yeah.
So. But anyway, we'll touch base on that because I upgrade mine and also my Apple Vision to both of them. The Apple Vision turned out to be very good.
I'm anxious to hear about that.
Yeah, that's powerful.
It's overall a big improvement or
huge improvement.
Didn't lose screen.
Is
it really?
It's huge improvement. It seemed like Apple ahead of the game again, like the hardware design first before the software. So now the software will take advantage of it. It's amazing. The colors, everything.
Yeah, I wonder, if they could have done it the first time around, but maybe they were rushing to get to market.
They did.
You know, they're trying to get something out there to compete with the other options. But
you know,
I'm
this,
glad that that investment that people made is not, you know, like I just updated and I mean, you probably never even had one of these, Nguyen, but it was an iPad. I think they called it iPad 2. So it was the second iPad model. You know, it's the standard 9.7 size, 9.7 inches, and it hadn't been updated in a while. My mom, she'd kill me if she heard that. My wife had stuck it in a drawer somewhere. I'd given her a different one because she needed one with more space. She's very adept at using old hardware, so I swapped her out of an iPad 2 upgraded her to the original iPad Pro 9.7. Great, great machine. And I believe it had, I don't know, it was at least 128K. I think it was actually more. I think it may have been 512, although that sounds pretty rich for that 2000. What would that have been, when? Probably 2015, 16, somewhere in there.
Probably around that. I don't remember.
But anyway, so I couldn't get into it. My Apple ID wasn't being recognized, which I knew what it was. That's usually the problem, is I can't remember. But I knew exactly what it was. I'd just gone through some updates on my M4 iPads. And so I went ahead. Oddly enough, it allowed me to update the software to, I don't know, whatever the latest or the last rev that would install on that level iPad. I think it was 15.6 or 16 dot something.
Too long
and
for me to
it
remember.
Did not, yeah, oh, trust me, I agree. But anyway, it did not ask for a Mac or an iCloud password, huh. Thankfully.
Wow.
But then, since I had iOS 26 running on assorted other devices now, I skipped the passwords. It did recognize it, but it allowed you to log in from another device because of, you know, the enhancements. I love that they've done that on iOS 26. As long as you've got another device, you know, I think running iOS 26 or well, wouldn't be later because that's the only, you know, version 26, and so it puts a QR code up that you scan, and then it sends a six-digit code through, and you can put it in. So no more of this. Oh, for those of us that have at least two devices, that's your way around having to keep up with your iCloud ID,
so
right?
You, Mac so ID. At least it'll give you an upgrade. You can upgrade it, right?
Well, that's it. Can't go to iOS 26.
Oh.
I'm on whatever I put on is either 15 something or 16 something.
They control.
That's it. But you're talking about a machine that's old. It's more than 10 years old. Heck, I think I bought it used here in Bangkok. It's been at least 7 or 8 years, and it was probably 7 or 8 years old then. So I mean, I bet it has been. It probably was 2010. Now that I think about it.
Well, the reason being all this stuff's not working because they renounced it is related to the AI, because the OS is designed specifically for AI chips.
Is
so,
it?
Yeah.
Is it?
That is
well,
why.
Well, the term AI probably wasn't even around back
no,
in 2010.
But the OS, the OS is catered for the new processor that they have. So if you don't meet that processor, some of them won't work. That's why they did.
Yeah.
They even say they discontinued the 15 and the 15 Pro. And down the line, you're going to see a lot of like the 13, 11, 12. It's not going to work. So right now, even the 16, the only cater for the 16, is all about the OS talking. Remember, Apple control both software and hardware, right? They control it. They're not like Windows or Android when you have developers. And dependency. Apple control both hardware
right,
and software.
Right,
and,
I get it.
And the new OS that they have. Now, back to your question about Apple Vision Pro. They did come out. They did not come out to the public on the version of the Apple Pro Vision, but they have. That's why they call Apple Vision and then Apple Vision Pro. The Apple Vision, they learn from the other people. I'm telling you that I have all the Vision. I have all the glasses out there since Microsoft have one and other and Google. I have the first one from Google, and I have Facebook. I got all of them, and I'm telling you. They learned it from mistakes from other people, and they perfected it. But it's so advanced, you have not even seen it. It's like an F-22 stealth, like it's like a flying saucer. You don't see it, the technology, until. But I'm looking forward to see the Facebook, the Meta one. You see, they announced the end of the month.
The newest
right?
one, right?
The newest one.
Yeah, I saw that.
See, the one I'm currently using right now doesn't have the display. However, it's still it's very useful because I can talk to it, and it does everything for me. See?
Yeah.
But the one on they're going to announce on end of the month is going to have both like a mouse, like a sensor.
Yeah. I saw an announcement yesterday on some channel. I don't know. It's probably some
it's pretty good.
You know, influencer that got his hands on one. But
yep, finally.
I don't know, because I discount everything Facebook does. I just don't like them, and I don't care how good it is.
Well, we'll see.
I know they won't be the last one standing. I know that either Google or Apple will eventually overtake
Oracle too. We'll touch right into that.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
Anyway.
True.
Anyway, so let me talk about the topic we talked in September. You know, there are five topics, right? The first one is the critical infrastructure attack. That's number one. Massive data breaches, okay? And then AI, social engineering, and state espionage. I mean, bunches happen all at once. And I think you already seen similar stuff going on. Somehow in September, it's a lot. And wait until you see October, usually October too. Like,
yeah,
we have a joke. Users say in October, Chinese taking final exam. That means everybody. This is a hacking. It's a hacking month of the year. So anyway, but I'm surprised this September there's a lot of chaos. So let's dive in.
Hey, by the way, before you dive, the iPad 2 was a 2011. Release.
Wow.
So it's been quite a while.
Like when Bitcoin is still $200. Wow. So anyway, you heard about a European airport cyber attacks, right? A couple of days ago.
No, I missed that one. Which cities? Or was it
this
the whole
is in Berlin, Dublin, Heathrow, all around Europe. Four airport. Heathrow, Brussels, Berlin, Dublin. Now, before that, you got a lot of denial of service last week. I'm talking about huge, massive denial of service. Like they're testing the system, and then a few days ago, they're executing it. So people like disrupt passenger check-in, baggages, some system not even working. The impact is
I can't imagine.
Oh, it's like, remember like System 1? Everybody depend on System 1 in the U.S.? Imagine that. All your reservation, flight cancel, chaos, 24 hours, 1,000 passengers stranded. I mean, and the root cause, they still have not found the root cause yet. And no confirmed threat actors. So we don't know if it's the nation state probed or ransomware operation. We don't know yet. We'll see what happens.
We're not sure if we did it or the Chinese did it, right?
Probably either that or the Russians. Things that's going on right now, I'm telling you, is scary. And this is no immature. This is someone that tried to mess to disrupt the infrastructure. So they're not for money, right? They're doing something else.
So I'm curious. I mean, you got all these planes in the air, presumably, at the time that happens. I mean, how in the world do they get all those planes down on the ground without
kind of scary. Imagine without the radar and without the air control traffic, I don't know how they landed, I'm telling you.
I don't either. The radar on the planes... Wouldn't be out, but they wouldn't be communicating with the towers, right?
Yeah,
probably.
You mean like a friend of mine? He said he's a pilot. He told me like a passenger airline, the hardest part is taking off and landing. But the moment you take off, you like 3,000-4,000 feet. You know how they fly the plane? Not through the yoke, right? They're using the knob to say 0-180, and they fly 180. It's just using that and they fly by itself. But But imagine when you get closer to the landing part and you require the
air traffic controller.
And no, you get to put a certain point, you require the pilot to land. But before that, you have air traffic controller tell you, hey, you got 3 airplanes behind you, 4 airplanes behind you, east, west, all the kind. Imagine you're not visible, and especially at night.
Oh, yeah.
Especially at night, how are you going to see it, right?
I'm telling you, that's scary.
You look at that helicopter that hit the jetliner. I mean, is that American Airlines that hit the U.S. helicopter in D.C.?
I think it may have been, but it was at Dulles, if I'm not mistaken.
Right.
Wasn't it?
It's in Washington, D.C. Area, and it hit that helicopter. That helicopter, the air traffic control tell her to the pilot to fly low. There's a plane in front of her, but however... You see, even the airline, even the air traffic controller tell you, they see everything still happening. But you can't see. She can't see it, right?
Yeah.
So there are a lot of root cause. I'm interested to find out what's causing it, you know? And this type of hacking is not an amateur. I'm telling you, it's a state-sponsored government. And here's another one, too. Now, the topic number two, zero-day critical vulnerability. You know what I mean by zero-day vulnerability?
Yes. Yes.
That means, okay, for the audience, this means that the virus that nobody knows exists. I mean, it's not even, we don't even know it's happening. That we don't have the cure for it, right? We don't know what the cause. And usually, this kind of virus, this kind of vulnerability, very expensive to program. And who has the money to do it? State sponsored, right? Could be the U.S., the Russian, or anybody, and any government doing it. But it's not, once again, it's not an amateur because it's very expensive to make, right? And it's affecting zip file. Ugh. I'm pretty sure you heard of that. Everybody using phishing, right? Zipping,
sure.
Zipping. We all use WinRAR, and it's happening. You depend so much on the WinZip, and right now it's affecting it. Right now, so be careful, the audience out there. When you see somebody send you a zip file, be careful before you open it. I keep telling people that, right? And Cisco firewall too. Cisco firewall.
By the way, that helicopter, I was wrong. It was National. I knew it was one of the two, but anyway, it's the Ronald Reagan National Airport.
Oh yeah, Washington. Yeah. Sorry about that.
Not Dulles.
Dulles. Yeah. And so
Cisco. Well, and it's still amazing, by the way, that. I can't believe they haven't had 10 other, at least, the way that little dance was played, you know, until very recently after that crash. I think they changed it up.
Mm-hmm.
But I can't imagine, especially on training missions, which is what that was, that they let that.
They do that every day.
Again, it's kind of like the equivalent, you know, in the Houston Ship Channel. I think they still do it. They basically, at a point, depending on the two ships, one's going inward, one's going outward, depending on their size, there's not enough width for both of them to be side by side. And they kind of whipsaw around each other. It's got to be perfectly timed. And it's kind of the equivalent of what was going on in the air, you know, with that Black Hawk and the small jet. Got to keep. Everybody's got to keep their eyes open and synchronized, right?
Yep. So. It's kind of worrisome, too. Oh, by the way, besides Cisco, who got affected with zero-day critical vulnerability, guess which one's next, I'm about to tell you.
I don't know. There's
Apple iOS.
Oh, is that
Apple,
right?
Apple iOS and the Mac.
Great. Wonderful.
Yep.
Wonderful.
And this is the one that they just sent out, but at least they have the warning to the public, well, most of us. So it's called zero click bug, okay? All an attacker needs is your numbers. They just receive crap URL and trigger malicious code. I'm talking about you no longer have to click on it.
How do the bad guys decide which people, like you or me or whoever, have a phone that's worth hacking? What's the information that clues them? Or, you know, where do they cross-reference what the phone
they
I'm
buy
carrying
it to. They buy it from the dark web, right? They buy from the dark web, the database.
Okay, but are they looking for someone that, as an example, that uses Apple Wallet or Apple Pay, that has a wallet with a bunch of ATMs, debit cards, credit cards?
So
in it?
You know where AT&T Lick and IB and T-Mobile's and Verizon and all those, it started there. And I'm about to go to the next one. To answer that question that you just mentioned.
Okay.
But right now, I'm telling you the iOS right now, before, if you receive a text, in order for them to affect your phone, you had to click on the link, but that's no longer the case, okay? That is what scared me. And people like me who do things every day, and I'm very careful, I think that I click on the link.
Okay, well, we just updated all of our phones with
that's
iOS
what I'm saying.
26.
Uh-huh. But this zero day bug, okay, is not a normal, it's not an amateur. I'm telling you, it's a state sponsor. And I'm going to tell you another tools about it too. Your days that using like a WhatsApp to encrypt your file or the, what's it called? There's another one. All the encrypted.
Line. Line is like WhatsApp.
Exactly.
We use that one here.
Right, and that's another one, like a bunch of them out there that they promise.
Oh, there's many
that,
more, but that, those two have huge.
They're supposed to be encryption,
audiences.
And they say nobody can get it. It's over.
Yeah,
they can.
Yeah.
They can get
well,
into
WhatsApp
it.
Was the late last one to get into the game of encryption. I know we used to use that before Line over here, and then at some point Line came out, and or either it was out, but it implemented encryption, and WhatsApp was several years past that, and so we got off WhatsApp. I never liked it to begin with. The calls on their voice over IP system pale in comparison.
Well, I used them during disaster. They work very useful when when your network's down at the office and you use a secondary communication to the other office around the world. It's perfectly. All you need is just a Wi-Fi and the message that you.
Well, I will say this: it does have
the advantage.
Wider. Mm-hmm. Well, it's in more countries, mm-hmm. but I use RingCentral. Both at the office and on my cells. And RingCentral's in 120-something countries now. RingCentral's voice over IP is so superior to WhatsApp and Line. I don't like talking voice on either one of those apps because they drop, I mean, constantly, up and down, up and down.
Mm-hmm.
Excuse me.
Yeah.
But
I'm trying to tell you, the day that all those apps that promise you the encryption and after you send a message to WhatsApp to me and then you decide, you know what, after minutes ago, it would disappear, 15 minutes will disappear, those days are over. They still can hack all your information. When I say they, it could be the government, it could be anybody now.
Yeah.
So they can hack you now with AI technology.
What about... Not that I don't even have an account, but what about something like Snapchat? Are those days
same thing,
over as
same
well?
Thing, same thing. Yeah. You really want the most secure? The burner phone, that's it.
Yeah.
That's it. That's it.
Yeah.
You buy it, you pay as you go along. You don't have a number, you don't have a name. Pay cash.
So you're saying a prepay account, but you can't. I mean, I can't go get
I'm not recommending
a prepay
anybody.
Here without
I'm
giving them a passport.
Sure they do.
And all that.
Sure they do.
Huh?
They have it everywhere.
Yeah, well, not if you play by the rules. I mean, if you go into a legitimate cell phone carrier.
I'm not recommending anybody anything. I'm just trying to tell you that that's the way. I'm not recommending anything. All right?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So, anyway, back to topic number three. Okay? The largest data breach ever. 16 billion passwords.
Oh my god.
16 billion password. It's all
over.
Where'd
it come from?
Facebook, Google, Apple, GitHub, Telegram, and more. And who do they exploit? Financial institution, government portal, and cloud as a service platform.
Well, this is just another reason why you're going to see dual factor.
That doesn't work either. Yes,
OTPs.
Now
it works for the moment.
And I'll tell you how, okay?
Yeah.
And I'll give you one example. Most of us use Google. You use Google for authentication, right? MFA, right?
Well, you mean the authenticator?
The authentication,
that
right?
Or what? Yeah.
Yeah, you use it, right? Well, guess what?
On a couple apps.
They bypass that. You know how they bypass it? They're hacking Google themselves. If you hack Google, you don't need authentication. You can shut down the MFA. And I'll give you one example, okay? Here, one example. This is a real-life example, right? Last week, a friend of mine, he is a Cisco certified. I mean, he got one of the top certifications in security in Cisco, the best there is, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And he got hacked. And they went into his bank, and they transferred the fund from saving to checking. All right. Now, the good news is he'd be able to get the bank to give back the money. However, what I'm trying to tell you, an expert like him got hacked. And I asked him, they got all my MFA, everything, dual factor authentication, everything. How did he get it?
How did he prove that to the bank?
No, the thing about the U.S., in the U.S., the bank usually at fault. And then there's so many cases, you just file it. That's their problem. You know, just like...
Well, but that may be, but they don't just say, oh, here's the check. They're going to check IP addresses and...
They did.
At a minimum,
they did.
Stuff like
and
that.
And the IP
right?
address, everything is verified. Even they say, they told him, we got your MFA. You authenticated. They said, I did authenticate it. How did he get it? But he went for a while, but at the end, they did get him the money back, right?
Well, and I wonder how they deal with situations like you've discussed your 95-year-old client. Well, how would a person, I don't want to pick on him, he's a sweetheart, of a guy. But what, I mean, at some point we do lose our cognitive ability.
Well, his case is different. He actually clicked on the link. He actually gave him the authority because he trusts them. You know, when you get older, you're like a little kid, right? You believe.
Oh, them. You don't have to be older. I'm telling you, when I was dealing with my 35-day hospital stay a couple years ago, I was worried every time I got online to bill pay or do anything on my bank accounts that I was clicking the right link, or because I was cognitively struggling with energy and crispness, my vision, things like that. And it's scary. And I was thinking, man, if I screw this up, you know, you go through a process to try to undo it. It's not easy.
No.
The banks over here are even harder than the ones in America. The banks over here, they're dealing with major hacking operations.
Our system is called a trust system, right? Just like credit card. Yeah. You know, if your credit card gets hacked, the maximum that you responsible is $50. Do you know that? Maximum.
I'm sure there's rules on.
There's a rule, but
what the edges
I'm
are.
Telling
yeah.
you, I got hacked before, and they use my credit card to buy stuff. As long you report it within a time frame, you're not responsible. That's only the U.S. I'm not talking about in Europe or Asia. But that's why everybody in the U.S., we have a trust system we still use today because it's backed by the government. And by the way, here's a little trick too. And this old man in my community, okay, he sold his house. He got like $600,000, and he got scammed. And I'm talking about he wired the money to Vietnam, okay? Vietnam. And that money is lost, but somehow he got it back. The bank gave it back to him. The first thing I tell people, the first thing if you get hacked, you need to file IC3.gov, okay? To get the case, that's the government. Mm. Okay, you reported it. Then you give it to the bank. The bank don't want publicity, all right? They'll work with you. So there's a lot of cases, and I see if you report it, and most of the time you get your money back. That I can tell you online here. So try it. IC3.gov. IC3.gov. All right.
Well, I've been fortunate. I've had no U.S. breaches, and we haven't, aside from one attempt with my wife, which she's still fighting, it's the infamous toll tag scam.
Oh,
we have it over
that
here.
One, huh?
Well, yeah, we have it over here, but she didn't click on it. She didn't pay it. But whoever said, you know, that you owe this, and if you don't pay it, we're going to take money. Well, they debited one of her credit cards for like $700.
Yeah.
$700 for like one toll is what they said, you know, in the earlier messages. So the first thing you do here is you go to the police. You get a police report, then you go to the bank, and in this case, it's the biggest bank in Thailand, and they have, you know, consistently maintained that, hey, they understand it's not her fault, but it's her problem, and she keeps saying, no, it's not. I've gone to the police. They say that your bank is having this happen everywhere throughout your system, and for me not to roll over, and she said, I've already talked to an attorney. And even for $700, she's going to fight this because it's not right. And the people that took the money on the credit card are a customer of that bank. So it's not like they don't know. They can see it's their credit card. In other words, it's XYZ Bank that they are, you know, they use the credit card for. And they've got a bank account at XYZ Bank. So I don't know. I'm encouraging her not to give up because the problem is it's likely not going to be the last time that somebody like this is successful. And it's good for you to get a little experience under your belt before it turns into a much bigger, you know, charge or much bigger problem. But you know, I read Vietnam has got a bad hacking community. Philippines is the place where we've talked about on the air has that one city of more than, you know, 5 or 10,000 people, if I recall, where they have co-working spaces set up with computer gear, high-speed internet, et cetera, call center type operations where the hacker companies can go rent a desk or a couple desk spots and start working right away. I mean, that's insanity, you know? And I don't, I mean, it's not like the Philippine government supports it, but the companies have some kind of facade that they all hide behind, and thus far, it's allowed them to do a lot of damage. Burma or Myanmar, you know, has the same stuff. And even, I can't remember where in the U.S., there was a city in the U.S. that was prone for this and got away with quite a bit before I think the U.S. banking system closed them out. But it's crazy. And you can't, and then you've got the legitimate stuff they freeze accounts for. Like right now, a lot of people are fighting. If your phone number that you call your main phone number now doesn't agree with the one you use to establish your electronic banking account, they've frozen many, many millions, if not billions, of Thai baht over the last 2 months, where, you know, it's uprooted people's lives because they had no way to pay bills. And we fortunately, I had just 2 or 3 months ago, I had to go through the visa renewal process again, and as part of that, I realized that I had purchased a new SIM card, and I went ahead and corrected it then before this stuff ever surfaced. But you can't blame the banks that are making a legitimate attempt at shutting down known hacking strategies and hacking accounts. And now, as an example, the bank I'm at, you can no longer send a wire from the mobile
app.
That's
another
problem. You've got to go into the bank. Yeah, you got to go. So, you know, I can't fault them for that. And frankly, I'd rather go into the bank anyway because I don't, well, we don't do wires on that account. But, you know, I would rather go into a bank and have somebody that's there that can, they know who to call if there's a question, you know, on the form you fill out. And I don't know, but it's just, it's sad that it's come to this. And I think back in the day when, you know, we didn't even think about it. You know, we had a real estate closing, we needed to wire money. Now, have you been through a closing lately, Wynn? Your title company is going to either call or email you 3 or 4 times leading up to closing to make sure that you don't fall for a scam, because these phishing attempts figure out who's in the market to close and then target you with fake closing wire transfers, you know, stuff like that. It's crazy. It's amazing. But anyway, hey, let's go ahead and take a break. We're well past the halfway mark, and we might as well do one, and we'll circle back here momentarily with more of this week's Be a Planner Show, the cyber version with Nathan Ross, CPA.
Hey, if you'd like to contact Nathan for questions during the show today or during the week, you can text him at 713-782-1900. That's 713-782-1900. Or you can send an email to Nathan at npross.com. That's Nathan at npross.com.
BeAPlanner.com wants to ask you, when's the last time your tax pro called with a way to save you taxes? Seriously, do you want to work with a planner or a reporter? A planner knows which tax code sections are the best wealth accumulation tools. Less tax, more profit. Learn more at BeAPlanner.com. The Be A Planner Show with Nathan Ross.
Is it easy? No, it ain't. Can I fix it? No, I can't. Well, I sure ain't gonna take it lying down. Will I make it? Maybe so. Will I give up? Oh, no. I'll be fighting till I'm 6 feet underground. I'm gonna warm up and take it like a man. I'm gonna buckle up, be tough enough to take control and make the
okay, welcome back with more of this week's Be A Planner Show with Nathan Ross, CPA, and Mr. A.I. Nguyen, and I have been talking about some of the most egregious hacking attempts as of late, September of 2025, is where we find ourselves, and this has been, well, frankly, it's been a rare September, and we probably haven't seen the end of it, given that we just had another big round of software updates with, the consumer end of things, the iOS.
A lot of changes.
Yeah, that's right, iOS 26.
And I don't know how people prepare for that, especially the elder generation, how they're going to do that, to be honest with you.
Well, you know, I updated several devices here in our household, and I'll tell you, I tend to think I'm pretty savvy. On the other hand, I'm getting old, and I'm not sure if the age totally offsets being what I thought was pretty savvy, but I tell you what, there's a few steps in almost every upgrade these days in tech, in the tech world, that don't feel intuitive, and I don't know, I just keep holding my breath for thinking I'm going to get locked out of something. I routinely have issues with passwords, it seems like, but that's my own fault. I should use a robo type password tool, but I've read where those are just as likely to get hacked. I mean, not quite the odds of you putting Post-its on your computer screen, maybe, but they're not foolproof. And I use assorted passwords that I have my own encryption logic, where I don't put all the letters in the words I use.
Just use the password management application.
I don't like them. I mean, I'm telling you, I've heard
that is the only
hackers and others say that there's tools to get around those as well, and you still got to update certain things, and I don't know. To me, you're not really solving the issue 100%. You're probably cutting down some of the headache, but I don't know. I'd rather it be something I control, and I guess I still do it, and I haven't to this day, knock on wood, I haven't had a password hacked, even though I know I had a couple that I guess they ended up on the dark web, because I got, how when you log into applications now, most of them will tell you, hey, you need to change this password. It's been found. It's not necessarily my fault. It was a data breach somewhere, that it was contained in. So I don't know. Gwen, which password manager you use? You can say it. It's not going to be a problem.
Either 1Password, any password you use. But
1Password,
here's another one that I use. What's it called? The one I use is called Keeper. So
I haven't seen that one.
So I don't want to using terminology that people are like, you understand, like Zero Trust. You heard of Zero Trust and Zero Knowledge Infrastructure, right?
It's been a while. Zero trust,
meaning that trust no one and verify all. So basically, you verify everything you do, right?
But now every time you log in.
Every time, but that's another concept called zero knowledge infrastructure. Zero knowledge infrastructure, basically, the people who keep your password don't even know your password. Think about that. Let that sink in.
Well, good. It ought to be encrypted.
Exactly. So it's called zero knowledge and zero knowledge infrastructure. That the one that I'm using called Keeper, that's what they do. They don't even know my password. So whoever hacked them, the software, don't even know my password.
Well, it's like most password routines on logins. Like for instance, we use Smart Vault. Mm-hmm. Well, Smart Vault can't tell you what the password is. I can't tell you what it is. It's not within the scope of what we're allowed to do, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah.
And so you're the one that has to set the password. You know, when we invite a new client to use our Smart Vault account, we send an invite through Smart Vault. We don't see the password that they assign temporarily. And then when you open the message, you've got to go change that. Well, not even Smart Vault knows what that is, right?
Mm-hmm.
But there are some systems out there, like I know there was a fairly popular CRM system that used to claim they were encrypted. Well, come to find out, they were encrypted from you to them and from them back to you, but anybody that worked there had access to your data on an unencrypted basis. Well, that could be a big problem because, you know, CRM systems, you know, you're keeping all manner of contact information, probably some Social Security numbers there along the way, maybe some driver's licenses, you know, depends on what product and services you're selling. But anyway.
Anyway, back to...
Well, we're
at number three. Number four. Number four this month is nation-state attack. So this month also brought alarming activity from a nation-state group. And I think you can guess who it is, right? The Chinese. Okay.
Yeah.
They exploited the vulnerability in Microsoft SharePoint. Scary.
Yeah.
I know you use it. I use it. Everybody use it. OneDrive is part of SharePoint. Maybe
okay,
not you.
I don't use OneDrive.
With everybody
I'm
else,
not a Microsoft
with
user.
Everybody
yeah.
using it. And you know who
yeah.
they're targeting? They target a National Institution of Health and Homeland Security. And the objectives, espionage, include nuclear security research, sensitive government operation, and internal communication. By the way, all of this is public knowledge, so it's not something that I, you know, send out. Now, it's in just ransomware. Is a strategic espionage, okay? They collect the intelligence. Think about that. So this is not your regular hackers, right? This is the nation state. So they call that's number four. And number five, I think we are waiting for this one. Always. AI and social engineering. Now that is...
That's not good.
This exploding this month, the social engineering, a friend of mine just got attacked, and software update, all kind of stuff. And next month, remember we're talking about Windows 10, Windows 11, no longer support, Microsoft no longer support Windows 10. And by the way, they come out with a solution, you pay us and we'll continue to support you. So they still have hope with people with Windows 10.
So is 11, I mean, I've lost track. I'm totally
11
out of the
is
world,
the latest.
But,
Windows 11.
But does 11 cost money, or are they giving that out freely they're doing away
you
with
buy, 10? You buy the hardware, you buy the computer, and they come with that. They come with either a home version or a pro version. But you pay for it as part of the hardware, whether you like it or
see,
not.
See, that's interesting. My son took his, gosh, it's got to be five-year-old MSI, you know, the gaming type notebook, or it's one of them, running I think Windows I don't know that it was even 10 when it was probably what was before that. There wasn't a 9, was there? Was it 7? Was that the
Windows 7 Pro?
Whatever it was a while ago.
Windows 7 Professional and Windows 7 Home.
Yeah. Well, anyway, he talked about taking it in to shop. You know, it's at one of the malls, which that doesn't mean anything over here. They could still be putting counterfeit software on, as so many of them do. But he said they had both options. You could either do the legitimate or the grade A copy, we call it. Oh. And they're putting 11 on his machine. And I told him, I said, no, that's impossible. I said, talk to Wynn. He's saying that you can't run 11 on old hardware. And he goes, well, all I know is that's what they say they'll put on it. And when it was, including if you wanted some apps, you know, like Office and stuff like that, it was less than $150. Okay, so somehow, now maybe this is all illegitimate. It could be, because that's how Thailand is, you know, on software. But I was blown away. I said, well, man, no need to go spend, you know, $1,200, $1,500, whatever, dollars on a machine if you can get that upgrade, because nothing wrong with his machine.
Wait until next month, see what happens.
Yeah.
So before, I don't know, I can tell you, maybe you can.
I'm assuming you can't go to Microsoft. You know how when you need help sometimes you click help and it takes you to Microsoft, tells you how to contact. Well, you're not going to be able to do that. I mean, I don't mean to make it sound like they're hiding something that makes it appear to be legitimate, but you just, but you know, the trade-off, you know, for 16-year-old kids, I mean, they don't care, right? They just want to be able to run, I forget what app he said he was, what game he was trying to accommodate, but anyway.
Yeah. So, but anyway, that, so this month, attacker of scale deception like never before, okay? There are four things. Deepfake. That's video, highly realistic video executive, okay? I'm talking about real face, voice, everything. And then phishing, attacker using fake Google Classroom invite. They're attacking school now, a lot of them, to trick student and educator. That's where it is, okay?
And then, what's the hope of gaining there?
Well, you think that education, right? The kids,
yeah, but
they click
on
anything.
These people are that altruistic, where they are trying to grab some intangible by hijacking what gets taught in schools. I mean, haven't the governments already done that?
Well, I can't speak to that. But right now they're attacking students and educators, all right? But the number one that scared me the most, and I've seen a lot of happen this month, business email compromise, abbreviation BEC. You heard that term, right?
Mm-hmm.
CEO impersonation scam, oh, my God. This quarter is phenomena is going significantly. Like, business receives so many emails that they all compromise, and they're using AI to do all this. That's what's scary. Think about it. Usually I have to sit down, you really have to craft an email to trick people. Now they're using AI to do 1,000,000,000 at the same time. I'm talking about the scale that they do. How are you going to stop it? Just all it takes is one to get away, one click and you get away, and that's all it takes. And that, my friend,
there's going to need to be triple authentication.
You know what? If it comes to that, they already have that. 15 years, it's not something new. What you know, what you have, and who you are, right? What you know is your PIN number. What you have is your physical device. And who you are is your fingerprint. If it comes to that, I think it comes to that. I'm telling you that right now. A lot of laptops come with a fingerprint, right? So it will come to that.
Biometric.
That means you cannot say, it's not me. It's your fingerprint.
You think they've got ways with AI to get around that even? I mean,
yeah, but at least when you prove it and they say
the
system showed that it did not go to your fingerprint. Therefore, you know, it's a problem with the vendor, whoever, the bank. If the bank said something happened, just like you asked before, hey, did you verify your password? Yes, I did. Did you put in a dual-factor authentication? Yes, I did. But if the bank said that you used your fingerprint, you said you did all that, but the system showed you only do two, that means it's their problem, not you. You see what I mean? So that means the bank problem. If we audit it, it's a bank problem. In fact, they know. That's why they did not charge my friend on the transaction. They knew. They knew it's their problem, right? So number six, legacy software risk and supply chain compromise. You know that we all business, we depend on A to B, B to C. You heard all that stuff, right? C to C. Mm-hmm. We all depend. I doing business with you. I'm secure, but you're not secure. That's going to affect me too.
You got infected.
You got, let's just say my Outlook got infected. Somebody go into my Outlook and send all those stuff, right? And they send to you. And then you click on it. Say, when do you send to me? I didn't send to me. Well, it looked like you sent to me, so I click it. Now all your contact got infected. Now they use your email to send to all your contact. And so on, and so on, and so on. Sound like a commercial. And so on.
Well, legacy software is a huge issue. I mean, it's so prevalent because, you know, most small companies don't upgrade every rev, you know, that comes out. And I know we used to sell and support mid-market accounting software, and, you know, those companies, they just don't have the budgets to go spend, the ones running QuickBooks. And, you know, that's people kind of, well, I say that. Some of my clients poo-poo the use of something like QuickBooks, which over the years has gotten to be much closer to the mid-market than just small business. But the good thing about any cloud-based accounting software is that they don't leave it up to the end user to upgrade. It's constantly upgraded in the background. And so that's one positive about all the cloud-based stuff. Now, I don't know. Maybe the trade-off is they're not as secure. Maybe they're more secure, you know? Mm-hmm. I don't know. But anyway. But Wynn, we've got about 2 minutes left. What else would you like to leave?
Well, I can leave this to
When are the new iPads coming out? When are the MacBooks coming out? Give us something we can actually use.
I have no idea, but I got my iPhone Air yesterday. I have not implemented.
Oh, did you?
Yeah, I did already.
You know, I think that's a sleeper. I think that most of the influencers fell for the head fake on battery life because it was a thinner, you know, case, et cetera. And now they're finding, that, and they've got the more advanced, the new modem that takes less energy. And what they're finding is the battery life is about the same.
Well, let me tell you the advantage of this phone that I have and also the service provider I have.
Now, you got the Air?
I got the Air, and this is T-Mobile. Okay. You know what that means? I'm using satellite. So that means if I'm at the area where there's no phone, it kicked in the satellite.
Well, now, wait a minute. You're doing that with the Air or the Pro?
Both. They are available. They are available. But I'm trying to tell you, if you use T-Mobile, you have the option. It's automatically, okay, that you can text and receive message in satellite, Starlink, on T-Mobile. But anyway, Nathan, just like everything else, I want to leave one thing with our listener.
We got 30 seconds.
Okay. Listen chop, chop. Out there. Stay safe. Stay informed. Until next time, may your data secure and your browsing history private.
Okay. You heard that. We will return Friday at 11 a.m. right here on AM 700 KSEV and AM 1540. Thank you for listening.
Thanks for listening. And join us again next week for another edition of Be a Planner Show with Nathan Ross, CPA.